Last week's lesson, we talked about suffering, and that one of the things that we talked about is things that happen in this world, and what is the cause of the things that happen in this world. And one of the things that we mentioned is that Satan is very active in this world, and we looked at the idea that everything happens for a reason, and what are the consequences from these types of thoughts, and that the scriptures teach us in Ecclesiastes that there's time and chance that happen in this world, and that there is a such thing as being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And finally, bad things can happen when we make bad decisions. One of the questions that many people have is the problem of evil, and why is there evil in the world if there is a God? And if there's evil, why isn't he doing something about it? And many assume that the existence of evil disproves the existence of God. Some of the arguments that you may see from time to time go like this, that you have a perfectly good and all-powerful God, and if that's true that he's all-powerful, then he would not allow evil and suffering, but there is evil and suffering, and so therefore God does not exist. That's the thinking that some people have in regarding to the state of evil in the world. They want to believe that God does not exist because of that. Another more detailed thought process that some go through is that God, by definition, is good, all-powerful, and all-knowing. And an all-good God would want to eliminate all evil. And an all-powerful God would be able to do anything that he wanted. And an all-knowing God would see suffering and know how to stop it. And if evil and suffering do exist, then God is not all good. He's not all powerful, and he's not all knowing. If God loses one of these attributes, he stops being God. Therefore, God does not exist. So that's the ideas that sometimes people in the world have. Maybe atheists have this idea when they argue against the existence of God, because they look at the evil in the world and this notion that because there is evil, there is suffering, and if God knows about that and allows that to happen, why can't he deal with that? Why is there evil and injustice in the world? Is he an evil God? Why isn't he doing something about this, even though he has the capability? In the scriptures, we see biblical writers talk about evil and why it's there. In Psalm 40, verse 12, it says, "Evil has encompassed me without number." And you see that a lot in the Psalms. In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 18, "Why is my pain unceasing, my wound uncurable, refusing to be healed?" And so ultimately what we see, and we looked at some of this last week, is that God is not the cause of all suffering and evil. And when we look at what we see in the world, isn't it interesting that people can recognize good and evil? That's a basic concept, isn't it? How do we even know what's good and what's evil? Well, it's because God has revealed that to us. So rather than look at evil and say, well, that's a proof of the non-existence of God, even the fact that you can recognize good and evil, it's something that has been set up. It's something that God has made as a standard. And so we know what good and evil are because of God. But the question that bothers a lot of people, why does God allow this to happen? Why does he allow the innocent to suffer? Well, let's think about that as we go through our lesson this morning. First of all, God made man in his image. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God made man differently. And so as we look at the study this morning, we have to remember how God made us and how he wanted us to interact in this world. And what we recognize is that God created us with free will. And that presents a problem, because then we have choices to make. And when God created Adam and Eve, He gave them free will. He told them, as we famously know, that there was a tree in the midst of the garden, and He told them not to eat of that tree. Every other tree that was there they could eat of, but that one they could not. And so did Adam and Eve have a choice? Well, yes, they did have a choice, and we know that they made a choice, and it was the wrong one. But God created them with free will. He set up a system that they could choose to either do what He said or not. And so when God gives people the ability to choose, the possibility of evil was created. And so this all-powerful God did not create a world in which people couldn't make decisions. The possibility of sin and evil is there because we have free will to make decisions. It's something that He blessed us with, the power to make decisions of our own rather than having fate or some kind of predestination predetermine what it is that we do. God created humans in His image, and that makes us unlike animals. Animals act mainly on instinct. Like we have a puppy that's instinctively using the bathroom in our house right now. And I don't know that that's instinct, but it's very annoying. But animals, they act mainly on instinct, but we resemble our Creator in our ability to display qualities of love and justice, and we have free will. And so to a great extent, we can determine what it is that happens to us in our future. We can't control everything, but the Bible encourages us to use that capacity. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live." And so you see here that there was a choice between life and death, or a choice between blessing and cursing. And they are encouraged to choose life. What else could they choose? Well, they didn't have to choose that. That's why they were encouraged to choose life. You know, this offer would be meaningless if we didn't have a choice, right? It would even be cruel to say, you know, choose if you didn't have a way to choose, if you lacked free will. God does not force us to follow Him, but God warmly appeals to us. You know, like in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 18, "Oh, that you had paid attention to my commandment. Then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the wave of the sea." And so we understand that, don't we? That we had a choice. We have a choice. And Isaiah is talking to those who didn't make the right choice. "Oh, if you had only paid attention to my commandment." We understand that in the parent-child relationship. Sometimes parents will say, why didn't you listen to me? Well, your kids have a choice, don't they? They are not robots. They are not like a doll that you can pull the string and it says, I love you, Daddy. And that doesn't mean anything to you, does it? You know, a child may like that the doll talks to him, but it's going to say that for anybody that pulls the string. But when a child gets up in your lap and gives you a hug, when they're a young child and they tell you that they love you, it means something, doesn't it? Because they had a choice whether or not they chose to love you. And God is saying, you have a choice. You either pay attention to me or you don't. And Isaiah is saying, oh, I wish you would have paid attention, speaking on behalf of God here. Then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the wave of a sea. So we have a choice. So our success or failure is not determined by fate. If you want to succeed, you have to work hard. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. There is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going." In Proverbs chapter 21 verse 5, "The plans of the diligent one surely make for advantage." The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty only comes to poverty. So this is just a smattering of verses that show you that we can make choices, that God has created us with free will. And so what does that infer if we have free will? That evil and suffering can exist because of the poor choices. Adam and Eve made poor choices, and it led to suffering. That disobedience led to suffering. And if I cannot choose to do evil, or if God intervenes every time that I'm about to commit evil, do I really have free will? And we see that sometimes with parents. How long of a leash do you give a child? You know, how much do you protect them? And we see this happen sometimes that children, when they are living under your household or under your roof, they may behave in a certain way, but when they get out on their own, they're not under the constraints of somebody telling them what to do all the time. And so they really, when they get out of the house, they have more choices that they can make. And so God gives us free will. And so when you think about the question of why is there evil and suffering in the world, why doesn't God do something about that? Well, what God did is He gave us the choice. He gave us the choice. And evil and suffering are in the world because of the wrong choices, because of the sin that's in the world. You know, could God have made the world without free will? I suppose so. But God wanted us to choose to love Him. We want our spouse to love us because they have the free choice to do so. Can you command somebody to love you? You could try. But, you know, that's not going to work. And if you could force your spouse to love you, which I think is impossible, but if let's suppose that you could, would it mean anything? And so when we read about the tree in the Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve were not to touch, they had free will. And God created a world in which people were free to choose. And in the beginning, there was no sin. But humans have decided to sin. And so the blame is on God. Not on God, but on us. So last week we speculated how much suffering would end if everyone did what God said. And the evil that would not be in the world if everyone always obeyed God. But that's not the world in which we live. People have free will and they make wrong choices. People choose evil and suffering, and that's why we see that. Now, when we look at the Scripture, we can see that God wants everybody to be saved. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we're told that the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. So He wants us to use that free will to find Him. He wants us to use that free will to be saved. But because God is not successful in getting everybody to be obedient to Him, does that mean God has failed? No. Does that mean that God cannot do what He wants to do in all cases? No. God has created a world in which His children can choose whether to follow Him or to rebel against Him. And the Scriptures are full of admonitions to whether people choose to follow God or not. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, the Bible tells us that not everyone is going to be saved. Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, Joshua told people that they had a choice. "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So it's laid out right here that there's a choice to be made. Joshua told everybody what his choice was, and he told them that other people had made the wrong choice, and they could continue to follow that path if they so chose to do that. His family had already decided what they were going to do. Moses told the children of Israel to choose life and live, Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, which we read previously. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, we're told to test everything and hold fast to what's good. Do we have a choice whether or not we hold fast to that? Yes, we do. People will make the wrong choice. And Paul also told us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 to work out our own salvation. And, God teaches us what that path is and how that should be done. So, when we look at the world and we look at the things that are in the world, the evil and the suffering, you can see that it's because of free will. Knowing that, and knowing that God is all-knowing, what does God know? Well, He knows everything. He knows what is going to happen in the future. He has the ability to know that. He knows the future good and future evil decisions that can be made. He knew what was going to happen to Jesus Christ. That was not a surprise. Even though there are those that believe that Jesus failed at his initial mission because the Jews took his life, but that was the mission. But what we see there is that God can tolerate horrible, evil things, knowing that is a result of bad choices. The death on the cross is the prime example of that. God tolerated that because He knew there was going to be a better result from that. The end result of that is the forgiveness of our sins and heaven being offered to us. So, in this case, evil resulted in something good because of the sacrifice that Jesus made. And so, when people ask the question, why does evil exist? Why does suffering happen? Sometimes it's because something better is going to come out of that, as it did in the case of Jesus Christ. And we've already pointed out, if God intervenes, what if God stopped that? Well, he's removing free will from us. The reason that this suffering was allowed, because God knew that this was going to result in something better. And that death on the cross certainly resulted in something good for us. The bottom line is if God intervened in every act of evil and makes sin not happen, then we don't have free will anymore. God has given us a great blessing, but He's given us a great choice to make in whether or not we choose to follow Him. God is good, but that does not mean that there's no pain and suffering, and that no pain or suffering should ever come to us. It's amazing when we think about it how we think that we shouldn't have any suffering or pain. If you go to the dentist, I don't know many people that enjoy that, and sometimes it hurts. Even when they're doing the cleaning, sometimes that hurts. When they use the tools to remove the plaque and the tartar. But you understand that this is for your own good to do that. What about parents and children? Do parents ever let children suffer for their own good? When a child is learning how to walk, are you there every time that they might stumble and fall? Because we're not going to let them fall. We're going to be right there with our arms close by. So if they start to fall down, we don't want that to happen. If you want a child to learn how to balance themselves, you can't always be there to assist them, to aid them. And so, you know, while that may be painful sometimes for a parent as a child is growing up, to let a child make some mistakes, it's something that needs to be learned. And we understand that. You know, you're not a bad parent because you allow, you know, some suffering. You want them to learn rather than insulating them from everything that could ever happen to them. And can we see that when we look at God and the way that the world operates, that through suffering we learn? You know, our character is formed through hardships. And many times we joke about that when we're going through suffering. You know, we say, well, we're just building character. But it's true that suffering teaches us how to be strong and how to endure. In fact, when you look at 1 and 2 Peter, Peter is telling them that I know that you're suffering now, and the news that I have for you is it's not going to get any better. That it's going to continue to get worse. But he wants them to be strong in that suffering and to learn from it. And so we learn and we grow from difficult, painful experiences. And so when we look at this question is, you know, why is there suffering and evil? And why doesn't God do something about that? Why doesn't he prevent that? How can he be a good God if he lets this happen? We forget that sometimes there are good things and growth that comes from that. And sometimes parents make such a mistake that they give their children whatever it is that they request. We don't want them to cry, so we don't discipline, we don't say no. And they grow up to be spoiled and expect everyone to do things for them. Well, that sounds a lot like the world in which we live. And if God intervened to prevent every bit of potential suffering in our lives, what would that make us? Well, we know in kids it makes them spoiled brats, but it would make us spoiled brats too, wouldn't it? If God took away our freedom to prevent all evil and suffering, it would reduce us to puppets who couldn't choose anything in life. So let's look at another question that comes up. What about evil people? Are evil people getting away with hurting others? Just because the justice of God is delayed does not mean that the justice will not come. A person that believes that there is no God, what must they believe about evil and suffering in the world? It must be very depressing because they have to look at that and think, well, there's just no justice in this world. And that's a very depressing condition. But God will bring justice. He's promised a judgment. It's delayed to give opportunity for us to return to God before this judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. So there will be justice. And we have a compassionate God that is not unaware of the suffering that's taken place in this world. Jesus was here and experienced that. And sometimes people act as if God has no idea of the amount of suffering that there is. But God came to this world and experienced that. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 says, therefore it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. And sometimes people forget this as well. When they look at pain and suffering and think, why is God making us suffer? Well, God suffered himself. He came and suffered for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, God has called you to endure suffering because Christ suffered for you, He left an example so you could follow in His footsteps. Christ never committed any sin. He never spoke deceitfully. Christ never verbally abused those who verbally abused Him. When He suffered, He did not make any threats, but left everything to those or to the one who judges fairly. So, Jesus was innocent. He didn't deserve the suffering He endured. He didn't deserve the evil that was done against Him. So what did He do? He knows our suffering. He knows the evil we endure. And justice will come. So if we're going to be like Christ, we will suffer as well. Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18 says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." So we suffer. Christ suffered. And we share that. So in conclusion of these two lessons, I kind of want to wrap this up with some comprehensive points here. Number one, that God allows suffering and evil because He wants a world where there is free will to choose to love Him. And that's pretty easy to see when you look at the Scriptures. We desire the same thing, and we understand that we want people to choose to love us. When a man and woman choose to love each other and get married, that's a choice that they make. And it means something because it is a choice. But to intervene against evil would destroy that free will. God gives us free will. So suffering is a product of evil acts and evil acts of others. We also are aware that Satan is at work in this world. And God has put boundaries and limits on what can happen, as we saw in the book of Job. But God created a world, as we talked about last week, that operates with free will. And He's created a world in which time and chance have an effect. And the forces of nature and nature's laws. If I jump off of an 8-story building, you know, there's natural laws that are going to have an effect there. So God has created this world in which natural laws have an effect. And when we choose to do things, we choose the consequences. So we can choose to do what we want. We can also choose to put ourselves in the wrong place at the wrong time, as we talked about last week. But what we see here is that God has created this world in which there is suffering, in which there is evil. But there's also a lot of good things, too, in the relationships that we have with one another, the relationship that we have with God when we choose to serve Him. But you know, when we ask these kind of questions, it seems as if there's a lot of people that want this world to be perfect. That, you know, there's flaws here and there, and you know, if this would stop happening or this could be changed, then this world would be perfect. What would happen if this earth was perfect and everything was the way that we wanted it? Who would ever want to leave? Would I desire to be with God? What we would see is that well, what we have here is enough, and I never want to leave. Suffering is something that draws us closer to God. It makes us yearn to be with Him. And if I had perfection on this earth, it would leave me without a desire to ever be with God. Jesus came and He suffered for us, and so That's the ultimate proof of His love for us. And we suffer, but we also know that God is with us. He will bring justice at the judgment. And this world is not perfect. And Michael's favorite song is "This World Is Not My Home." And it's not. But when we constantly crave for perfection in this world, we forget that it's not our home. And so when we hear this question, why does God allow suffering and evil? We know the bottom line is it's here because He gave us a choice. He gave us free will, and we can choose to love Him or we can choose to rebel against Him. And so that's why you see suffering and evil in this world, is because we choose to do things that cause that. But He's told us that we don't have to live with that forever. That we can live with Him. We can live with Him in perfection in eternity. So let's keep those things in mind as we live this life. Remember that this world is not our home, and that we are desiring to go to that place where there is no pain, no suffering, as we see in this life. I hope those things will be motivational to you as you strive to serve God and be with Him in eternity. If we can help you in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.